Salt Lake City. This was recorded in May of 1991.
Right this second. In California, are you there, Mr. Tom Metzger?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you are director of White Aryan Resistance Group. You are in Fallbrook, California.
Yes.
What's the White Aryan Resistance Group?
Well, the White Aryan Resistance is a loose-knit association of people all over the United States and actually in other areas of the world who feel that our number one issue that they're interested in above all other issues is the survival and the betterment of their race, which happens to be white. They have many other views on many other issues and sometimes even disagree quite a bit on other issues, but on the one issue they come together, and that is the best interest of their race.
Yes, Tom Metzger, I'm sure you've been asked all these questions. I always have a hard time when I talk to someone who starts off like this, trying to figure out if they're really serious or if they're just saying what they're saying. You know what I'm saying?
I understand, but what you have to do is look at...
Let me ask you a couple of things, though.
Sure.
I'll never know, but what if Tom Metzger were President Tom Metzger, or Congressman Tom Metzger, or all-powerful Tom Metzger, what would Tom Metzger be in favor of doing? And let me hold that so we can do a traffic update, which I meant to get in beforehand. If you'll hold on the air, we'll come back for your answer.
Sure.
All right, little traffic update. All right, thank you very much, Arlen. In Fallbrook, California, on the line, Tom Metzger, director of what is called the White Aryan Resistance Group. Again, if a Tom Metzger ran the country, so to speak, what policies might change?
Well, the magic wand type thing I'm not usually into, but I will play the game. I will say this, that the first thing I would be involved in is breaking up the corporate states of America, which has now superseded the sovereignty of the American people. In doing that, we would have to defang the transnational corporations now that are totally in power in this country and throughout the world, controlling agriculture, controlling banking, controlling every part of our life, and becoming stronger and stronger and stronger, actually in a sort of a feudalist type economic system. In other words, give power back to the people and to the states. And of course there's many other things too, and that is of course our ecology. We would have to limit and totally block our borders and keep the population from growing, eating up the environment.
Now, when you're the director of something called the White Aryan Resistance Group, I didn't hear anything from a racial standpoint in that, other than not letting new people in. We have a country that within a few years will be mostly non-white. Indeed, it isn't already there already. What does the director of the White Aryan Group do in so far as...
Well, if that is true, and it's certainly moving strongly in that direction, according to the demographers that I'm keeping tabs on, to where we would be totally considered a non-white nation by 2075, then the experiment in the Republican form of government in North America would be over, because the very people who brought that kind of Western Euro-civilization to this continent would basically be out of the picture and out of power. And so, of course, at that point, it's a flip a coin to see whatever happens. And of course, it would revert to barbarism, as it does in most non-white parts of the world. I like to think that the Euro-American white people would wake up before it's too late.
White population do then right now?
Well, immediately they have to understand that their government is a criminal government, and it's not their government, and it's not interested in their welfare. It's simply a front office for a world economic, like I say, transnational corporate structure. And at that point, they must throw these clowns out either by electoral process or physically. They must replace them with true leaders of the people. Now, I am a separatist and believe that at least a majority of North America must be maintained for the best interests of white people. And that would mean then if there are other races such as blacks who want to strive for some type of separatist answer, they must strive for their own leadership too, because the future of North America...
I guess I keep thinking you're going to say it, but you know, would you let a black man, for example, own property in the United States?
Not in, in a separatist situation where we...
property owned by a black person in this country right now if you ran the show?
What I would do is try to work out an equitable adjustment for blacks and whites, but based on the idea that whites must maintain a majority of North America, if not all.
What do you mean equitable? I mean, it can't be equitable. You'd either force them to sell their property or you wouldn't. Would
you? Well, I've seen this happen in, I think, Bangladesh and India, where large populations have been separated and they've been given money to do so and so forth. Now, I'm telling you, what I like to talk about is the opposite choice you have. The opposite choice you have is that two-thirds of all violent crime in this country, by Justice Department figures that I get each month, are non-white. Now, can
you gather all blacks? I'm not saying what's right or wrong. I'm just asking, would you gather all blacks together and send them back, even though they've never been there, back to Africa, back to somewhere? Would you quarantine them like the Japanese in World War II?
I don't think it's appropriate for Tom Metzger to put himself that he is now Emperor of the United States. What I would advocate first is freedom of choice, which we don't have. I think that this could be headed off to a large degree if the American people, and specifically the white people, had freedom of choice, which I hear screamed all over the country, freedom of choice. Freedom of choice would mean that white people over these years, these last few decades, would have had the choice of who they associate with and who they develop their schools for and what neighborhoods they want.
To attend the public schools in which whites are going right now? Yes.
No, not at all. They would be separated, a separated race of people. And they... Well, I mean, the liberals keep telling me how intelligent the Negro race is, and I keep saying, well, let's have a separation and let them prove how intelligent they are.
Separate also, say, American Japanese and...
Asians would have to be deported.
Asians would be deported?
Absolutely. They have always been the greatest threat to the white Aryan race. They have invaded Europe over and over again. But that... They may be, and maybe that's another good reason to separate them. Yes. Well, do you want to be the slave of a Japanese conglomerate? Is that what you would like to be, even if you're a little dumber than a Japanese? I mean, is that what you would like America to be?
Let's throw this open. I'm sidestepping it because I don't know where this all goes. I don't think that's your choice, but let me put it that way so that it doesn't look like I avoided it. I think a country that can't compete, in effect, becomes what it is you say you're trying to avoid for sure anyway.
Well, of course you can't compete based with the system the way it's running today, where the majority of the country is being fed by the minority. And
Tom Metzger, a director of the White Aryan Resistance Corporation, in Fallbrook, California. We will be taking phone calls as quickly as we can or as fast as they come in, and coming in is what they're doing right now. Let me give you some phone numbers when they become available. There is one local line available, Salt Lake County, 570-5855, Utah County. That line available, 470-5855. And Weber County, 670-5855. And let's go to this first call. John, you're on the air with Tom Metzger, Director of White Aryan Resistance Group. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Metzger?
Yes.
I'd like to first say that I disagree with your racial policies, but I do believe you have a right to this country to spew them out. And I think those liberals give you a bum rap when they held you responsible for those kids eating that black man. I too am concerned with people years and like words to speak as a scapegoat.
John, are there any words in this free country, John the caller, are there any words in this free country you would not allow a person to say?
No.
No words?
Freedom of speech means freedom of speech.
So I can say anything. I can
know,
get on
John,
this.
Listen, those kids that were involved in the meeting, they should have gotten the full extent of the law.
You wouldn't allow a person to yell fire in a crowded theater or get on a radio and say perfectly untrue and deliberately hurtful things about them.
Well, you know, it's funny that actually one of the greatest statements ever made was by the Supreme Court Justice, who said, the most violent speech is the speech that needs protected the most radical speech. This thing about fire in a theater, I can think of about six reasons for calling fire in a theater. If there is actually a fire, what if somebody drops a cigarette on the floor and you smell a little bit of whiff of smoke and you yell fire, people run out and they get killed and you find out it was just a cigarette. What's the liability there? So that fire in the theater question is, I think, very simplistic. And I think that I'm calling, there is a fire. There is the demography of this country is such that the white race is going to have to confront it and worry about it and do something about it.
You know, recently a lot of rock and roll singers have been sued because people listen to their records and then they commit suicide, and the judges have said that they're not guilty, they're not liable. And I think that's the same case with you guys. I mean, it makes me sick every time I hear one of you guys speaking on the radio. In fact, I constantly am calling up and pointing out to the certain local races that a lot of crimes have been committed by the white race, like, for instance, Hitler's extermination of the Jews.
Hitler was not an American. Let's keep it here in this country. The percentage of crime per capita by white people doesn't have any comparison whatsoever to the crime of the black race and the Mexicans and Chicanos.
What about the mafia?
The mafia is such a they're such a small. Well, that's such a small percentage of the Italian people that it's almost infinitesimal. I mean,
even more irrelevant. Go on. We'll be back in a second. If you have a comment for Tom Metzger, the director of what is or what he calls or what the Association calls the White Aryan Resistance Group, on the line, he is in California. Thanks to Bob White, our producer. My name is John Prince, Evening Drive Time Talk Radio. Again, if you have a comment or a question or whatever, get on the line right now. Tom Metzger, who is, again, director of the White Aryan Resistance group, speaking to us from California. You're on the air, Don, with Tom.
I have a question. Since you're keeping such tight demographics on crime in the country, do you have the demographics on white crime?
White crime? I don't have it right in front of me, but you're talking about street crime or white-collar crime? There's obviously a high amount of white-collar crime that exists among the elitist and the what we call the race traders in our own race that are interested only in greed and things like that that run the top outfits and corporations of this country. That's where whites are mostly involved in crime. As far as street crime, you'll find the per capita rate of street crime is much lower among whites.
Say that, but those three kids of yours that went out and beat that kid with a baseball bat, were they white?
Well, let me tell you something. Those three kids were not my three kids. I never had met them or knew them before this happened. But I'll tell you this, if you want to look into the facts of the case, which most people don't care to do, that there were three men come out of a party, and they were blocked in the street by three black men. The three black men challenged them to fight. There was a fight between two white men, two black men, and then a third black man ran a half a block to get into the fight, and then a third white man got out and got into the fight, and one black died. Well, the point is that possibly manslaughter, but all these people had disobeyed the law, the blacks and the whites, and they all should have been charged equally. But that didn't happen, because in this country today, when white people have a physical confrontation with, say, blacks, and the blacks lose, the white man's going to jail for maybe a lifetime. When it's the opposite way around, it doesn't work that way.
Can you answer this? Why are the prisons in the United States filled with more blacks than whites? And there's more...
Well, I think you...
Black crimes against
white. Well, that's because most blacks still live closer to black people, and since the nature of blacks is in many ways much more violent, they commit crimes against each other, and the more they integrate into the white community, the more that crime will be directed towards whites. And the reason the prisons are obviously full of blacks is because of the majority of black street crime, and that puts them in there.
Okay, now, if this black street crime is committed by black people, because of their nature, as you put it.
Yes.
What creates this nature?
Well, evidently, nature through evolution or whatever you want to believe has endowed races and individuals with different capacities. And it's my belief that when I look at Africa and see what the colonialists did there to try to sort of elevate things in Africa, and when they left Africa, it's sunk into barbarism in the other countries in Africa. In fact, South Africa is a perfect example. As long as the white man's there and running the show, you have quite a good civilization, which the blacks benefit by too. But when white man moves out, forget it. They revert. Pardon me? Yes, I do. No, I haven't.
Why is it whites like you always want to put blacks or other minorities in a place they wouldn't live themselves?
I don't understand what you... I have...
Why do blacks always end up living in ghettos? In poor, crappy houses. Most, 90% of the slumlords in the United States are white.
Well, most of those are... I would say majority of those whites are Jews.
Oh, bull crap.
Well, ask the blacks. They'll tell you that.
Oh, bull crap.
But I'll say this. That's because of their inability to compete. That's why.
The inability to compete is the inability of you to give them a job based on their ability.
No, because whenever 10 men come to me and 9 are white, it's normally obvious that one of those white men will have a much better chance of getting the job than the one black man, simply because there's more... Well, it's simply the odds are more with a white man, and that is just the way it is.
Question.
Or woman.
In the Fortune 500 of the United States, there's not one black CEO of any of the major Fortune 500 companies.
But you answer your own question.
No. Wait, let me finish the statement. You're going to tell me that in this day and age, with as much as you claim the government has screwed you and has screwed the white man by letting black men into college, you're going to tell me nobody's qualified to be a CEO?
Well, I'm saying that I condemn these people at the top probably more than you do, but I'm pointing out their ability through a sort of a carnivorous nature to compete. I never said that they couldn't compete well. The people that run the corporations in this country are the meanest machines in the world, and that's and they've evolved a long time to get there. They've just transferred primordial warfare into the corporate world. Normally, blacks will not be able to make it there. They won't, because they'll just chew them up and spit them out.
Okay, now, I got one last question, and I'll get off the radio. Why is it you guys can't stand up on your own ability regardless of race, creed, or color? I mean, all of us are born.
We stand.
Now, why is it your white skin should give you more rights and more of anything than somebody else? And why?
It doesn't. We should compete for it, and that's what we've done for millions of years, and that's what created Western civilization and high civilization around the world. That was a great competitive thing, and for the most part, the white man won.
So why are you so afraid of the Chinese and Japanese?
I'm talking about demography and birth rates here. I'm talking about simply by weight of numbers, the greatest society can be destroyed. And if the United States becomes a third world nation, the United States will fall. It'll be a banana republic, just like England is becoming right now.
Sure. If it falls, it's because the white man sold it out.
Yes, at the top, and that's what we condemn the most. This is the corporate five. We're talking about the corporate 500, like you're talking about. We're talking about a division of our white race that we are at war with, that has decided to go whoring after profits and greed to the detriment of their own race, and we have to bring them down. We want to bring them down. They are far more dangerous than any black man.
But the black man you guys should take out on the corner.
The black man has, none of my friends have anything to do with going out and beating a black man on the corner unless that black man tries to beat me.
Now, you're going to tell me the Aryan nations who run around and attack people when there's five of them and one of somebody else?
Well, if someone does that, then they're cowards. I do not support that. I don't know that they do. But if anyone, five people, jump on one person to beat them to death, that's bad. But it happens more by black people on white than whites on black.
Right.
Well, how can you...
I don't know where to interrupt here, but you've got to admit I haven't interrupted much.
No.
But I'm going to interrupt here because I must. Don, thank you for your call. Tom, if you'll stay on the line.
Sure.
Bob White, our producer, and thank you again, Bob White, for lining up in California. Tom Metzger, director of the White Aryan Resistance Group from Fallbrook, California. And Tom Metzger, you're on the line with Richard here in the Salt area. Richard, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
Is that me? You're on the air, yes.
Okay, sorry about that. I'd like to ask you a question. Where did you grow up at?
I grew up in Indiana, near about 100 miles from Chicago.
Do you know any Asians or blacks that you like?
Sure. They've come to my house on many occasions. I've had meetings with Japanese Americans and blacks and people of other races. The block I live in is all Hispanic, Mexican, but my house. And
so why do you believe we have to separate them? Don't you take each person on their own...
Personally, I do, as far as judging good or bad or whatever, but the race is a very important factor, and it is a factor that, unfortunately, our youth have been educated out of understanding, and it's something they're going to have to be educated back into the hard way, unfortunately.
Well, actually, I was brought up, my dad is probably kind of racist, actually, I know he is, but... Not quite like you, I'm sorry to say, but in these times, I am growing out of it myself. I am beginning to accept. I am white.
Well, I would say that...
other races and stuff, it's hard.
Well, some people think the path of least resistance, and they do take that. I can understand, but a big share... Yes, it is. A large share of people...
As per their self, there are black people and there are whatever you want to know.
No, most people... Most people discipline, desensitize themselves by drugs and liquor and so forth and just sort of say, well, what can I do about it as their culture and their society crumbles around them and they don't realize they're crumbling and going down with it.
I'm sorry, everyone, I interrupt. I don't know how to do it in either way and let everyone else in, so stick with us. On the line, Tom Metzger, director of the White Aryan Resistance Group. He is in California. My name is John Prince. Evening Drive Time Talk Radio will be 73-521-4773. Every blooming thing. Utah County. Chris, you're on the air with Tom Metzger. Hello? Okay, Chris, you vaporized. Let's go to this call. Andrea, you're on the air.
Hi, John.
Hi, with Tom Metzger in California.
Hello.
Tom, I was wondering, what do you consider white? Who is white?
I talk about Euro-Americans, people basically of, or European, Eastern European and Russian and so forth background, people, whites of Australia and South Africa and Canada. All these basically white nations. I mean, a white man's pretty easy to recognize. If we can't recognize a white man, how come we have an affirmative action? We can certainly recognize something that's not white.
Okay, so, I mean, if my skin's light, then I'm white. If my great-grandmother was black...
Not necessarily. You know, we actually use the 1/16th rule, and that is if your great-great-great-grandfather or grandmother... could have been of another race, but if their mate was Caucasian, white, Aryan, and ever since that down to this time, then you'd be obviously considered as a white.
So if my great-grandmother was Indian, then I'm not white.
Depends. See, most people who claim to have Indian extraction today, if they had a nosebleed, they'd get kicked out of the tribe, because it's a very in vogue thing to claim you're part Mongolian, which that's what the Indians were. So your grandmother could have been 1/16 or 1/4, 1/2. It's hard for me to tell. But a pure Indian is a Mongoloid. And if you don't look in the mirror and see a Mongoloid face in the mirror, then you're probably not an Indian.
So, to satisfy what the Aryan Nation, we would have to do some genetic or some genealogy background checks on people to determine who they were.
Well, we're just talking basic. Yes, we have some limitations, and obviously there is a gray area, but we believe in some, obviously you have to have some guidelines.
So you believe that if my ancestry is not white up to a certain point, then obviously I've been defective somehow.
Well, it just means that it'll take too much time it'll take too many generations for you to get back in the mainstream. Well, I don't care. It doesn't make any difference, because it's very hard to talk to people who live in little towns or big towns in maybe Utah, where they don't have to confront the everyday squalor and barbarism that we face here in California and they face in Washington, D.C., and New York, and Chicago, and around the country. I find that white people I talk to in these areas like this are very comfortable, and their religion keeps them very comfy. They have this guilt feeling about not if they, you know, they should love everybody. And it's very easy for them. But when you live down close into the barrio and the ghetto and so forth, and see how people operate, you get a very different racial attitude very quick. Either that or you just join in the race mixing.
I just find it hurts me. I mean, it really does.
Well, you're going to be hurt a lot more by the transnational corporates who are now totally taking over this country and going to subject you all to being peons and nothing but workers in the field for their international economics, and they love just to breed you down into just some kind of a docile race that they can push around.
I agree that there's a part of our government that's going to hell in a handbag. I do.
It's a criminal government. There's no possible.
So, your answer is that somehow that we need to separate ourselves.
Well, the thing is, we are in an economic war and a racial problem, you see.
Oh.
It's two problems.
We have a third problem, which is the battle of the clock, so let me interrupt you again. Thank you, Andrea, again. I know I'm stopping you right at the heat of passion. I don't know how to do it. We'll be right back. Tom Metzger on the line in California.
Right, on the line in California, Tom Metzger, director of White Aryan Resistance Group. Tom, I'm sure you'll have the answer for this.
Well, okay.
Condemn is in fact supporting you because you don't have a job on welfare, I understand.
Absolutely. I was totally illegally under color of law, drawn into a total sham show trial in Portland, Oregon, where I could not hire an attorney. I had to defend myself. My son did against multimillion dollar organizations with all kinds of.
I can believe anything you say except for the part that the court wouldn't allow you to hire an attorney.
No, I didn't say the court wouldn't allow me. I could not. The closest I came to hiring an attorney was one in Portland who wanted $100,000 cash up front.
Not a court attorney. You will have one appointed.
No, this was not a criminal case. You see, this is the sinister part of this. They're using the civil law now to abrogate your First Amendment rights and so forth. It was not a criminal. If it had been criminal, it would never have happened. I was never questioned, or my son, about anything in this killing in Portland, Oregon. Even the man who testified against me, who was bribed, and we have proved he's been bribed, he was never held either. So everybody gets this mixed up. It was not a criminal trial. And so when I have been beaten into the ground to the point where they're seizing my little small business here that I've worked all my life and worked real hard, and they seize my mail and so forth coming in from my friends politically, then I say then we have to develop trench warfare, and I will fight in the trenches, and I will use their own system as a revolutionary weapon against them, and I will take their money, and I will force the people of California who stand idly by and watch my First Amendment privileges smash to actually finance my well-being as a lesson to them.
Tom Esker, can you stay on the line while we go to the Dow Jones Report? We'll come back to
you. Sure, sure.
Tom Esker, on the line, director of the so-called White Aryan Resistance Group in Fallbrook, California. My name is John Prince, Evening Drive Time Talk Radio.
What about it, Tom Esker? Look deep into your soul and tell us what you see.
Actually, I'm not a prejudiced person at all because I do not prejudge. I have studied the racial situation for years. I didn't come from a racist background at all, just the opposite. In fact, I was quite liberal when I started, but through reading of books and things like that and observing around the world the functions of races, I've come to this conclusion. So it is not prejudice, but it is.
Come to is exactly what?
We have all evolved in a different manner from different lengths of time. The latest discoveries in the Arthur Vining's lab on the genetic structure of the DNA molecule, now they can measure the differences of ages of animals as opposed to humans, and soon we will know about the ages of the Negroes as opposed to the white Aryan people. So we have all these things at our fingertips to show that there is a definite difference between the races. But
all the anthropologists tell me, you will no doubt say they don't know what they're talking about, or I guess maybe I better listen to what you say about it, but they all suggest that the earliest form of life may have come in the kind of Ethiopian area, and that and the very first people were all black, and that in fact all of our ancestors as man were black.
Well, then, even if that were so, it would mean that some were horrible failures and others were not and went on to become something else. If some stayed in the tree longer and were afraid to come down, well, maybe that's a problem. So even that argument fails if you look at it straight on.
All right. It's one of those endless topics that I could dominate or step aside and anyway, Mark, it's yours. Go at it.
I'm white, but you're white trash.
Well, that's a wonderful statement, no question. I find that white people today are the most misled. Actually, they spent billions of dollars of propaganda turning you against your own race. And I really don't have any hard feelings because I can understand why you feel that way. You're like a computer that has not had a proper programming. You've had only one programming, and that is white people are bad, white people are guilty, white people are guilty of all the crimes of history, and we owe the non-white races everything because they're such wonderful people. And so that's the way people go around.
Before we go to NBC News and end this segment of our interview with Tom Metzger, director of the White Aryan Resistance Group. He is in California, in Fallbrook, California, to be exact. We'll be back in about 30 seconds. Pat, in the Salt Lake area, and Tom Metzger in California. Pat, you're on the air.
Okay. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Where do you think we all came from, how we all started?
Well, I don't know for sure. I'm probably more honest than most. I have studied from all different directions, religious, non-religious, evolution, and so forth, and I'm not really sure. All I know is that where we are today and what we have built is a Euro-American or a European-type race. But to try to tell you what all these preachers don't know and all these other people say they know but they don't know and they lie to you, I'm not going to do that. I'm not sure.
What leads you to believe that the white race is the best race? And that's exactly what you're saying, isn't it?
Well, I'm just saying that from my point of view, and I think historically we go back to about 3500 B.C. in the area of Mesopotamia, and we find the rise of the Aryan people, and they began to build high civilization, which eventually built the Egyptian culture, and eventually then to Greece and so forth, and then on up into Europe, that there was something that race had that didn't seem to be quite as in evidence in the other races that inhabited the world at that time. And they have, if you look
in that radio station we're talking through, if you took everything out of there that the white man invented, you wouldn't have a radio station. The same goes with most of technology that we use today. Other races tend to be great copiers, at least some, but they're not great innovators.
Japanese
are great copiers, but most technical people will tell you they're not great innovators of the original idea. Now, that doesn't take away. They're very sharp people, much sharper than the vast amount of Asians in Asia, and a real hardcore competitor because they operate with a tribal instinct, which is a homogeneous Japanese race. And they are, out of the 10 transnational corporations that are eating up the world, the Japanese control 6 of those transnational corporations.
Final comment.
All right, well, we had to have a beginning, and we had to have a start. And it seems to me that it started one way, and we all became what we are now. I just can't understand how you feel that the white race, of which I am, I happen to be Italian, we are great innovators as far as I'm concerned, think that you are better just because you have white skin.
Well, I certainly don't think I'm better because I have... Well, if you'd let me answer you, I'm not saying that because I have white skin. White color of the skin is just the tip of the iceberg, and it's the evolutionary signal that there may be a problem when that type of skin approaches. But
say you're Italian. When somebody says, "What are the Italians best at?" They don't. I never heard someone say, "Well, they're the best innovators."
They are. They're best.
I heard they were the best of the party, the best lovers, thousands of things, but I never heard they were the best innovators.
They are.
Well, I think we can. I think that we can thank at least the Lombardic part of the Italian people for the great contributions of the Reformation and many other things.
But I don't want to go around thinking that I'm better than anybody.
Well, do you want to think you're worse than everybody else? Does that make you feel good? Does it make you feel good to feel worse than everybody else?
You're saying that.
Well, you can't be equal. There is no such thing as equality. If you ever want to buy onto Marxism, that was the number one plank in Marxism, that we're all equal, and then the big shot up above will rule you with a rod of iron.
Look, we all can't cook, we all can't paint, we all can't guard, but we are all equal, and we all do things differently.
You can't really believe, how can you possibly, addressing all these listeners, is tell me that we're all equal? When is the last
to do what we want to do?
When is the last brain surgery that you have performed?
I have never performed a brain surgery.
Well, when is the last rocket to the moon that you've designed?
I've done a pretty good...
Well, then you're not equal.
Who says I'm not? I'm not saying I'm the best at everything.
I'm not putting you down, ma'am. I'm not putting you down. I'm saying it's the perennial myth. Equality is the perennial myth.
And I'm from Los Angeles, and you're preaching.
Oh, well, then why are you up there?
I came here many years ago with my husband.
To escape the smog and the...
No, because he wanted to hunt fish, but we're going back.
Oh, you want to be in L.A., huh?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's wonderful. They'll be glad to see you back in L.A.,
It's
drive-by shootings every night, rape, pillage, burning.
Come on, man, that's baloney.
Oh, you mean my TV is lying to me? the most amazing thing, I really can talk about these things even more clearly with Asians and black people than I can white people. White people are the most pie-in-the-sky people in this country I've ever seen. Well, as you're in an aging society, you're going to find the non-whites, once they have the numerical numbers, which they're getting, they are not going to support you in your Social Security in your old age. They're not going to pay for it. And then what are you going to do?
I'll take care of myself, sir. But I see.
I don't hate people. I'm just telling you the truth. Well, I'm telling you the truth.
I'd much rather listen to other people than you and study my...
What part of L.A. are you moving back to?
Okay, that she'll never be able to answer.
Well, she certainly wouldn't be moving...
Hold on a second.
She certainly wouldn't be moving back to southeast L.A. She wouldn't be moving to east L.A. And she wouldn't be moving... You're from east L.A.? Have you been there lately? Are you Mexican?
Told you that.
Oh, you're passing as a Mexican, huh?
Why would I be passing as a
Mexican? Well, a lot of Italians can, you know.
But I'm not, sir.
Well, I'm just saying that they may not hit you. Well, you're screaming and yelling, so I might as well get excited, too. Okay, good luck in East L.A.
Well, thank you.
The murder rate is pretty bad over there.
Continue with the philosophy. You have. You're going to have a great murder rate, too. You better believe it.
Well, it's not my people that are doing drive-by shootings, ma'am. We don't need to.
Well,
we do drive-by thinking.
You're about divisiveness, and you've been very, very ugly, and I don't wish to talk to you anymore.
Bye.
Say, Tom Metzger, that your group, been handed a note, has been accused of killing Alan Berg, the talk show host in Colorado. True or false?
Well, that's, my group, I mean, Alan Berg was just a nothing as far as I'm concerned. I'd like to hang a bunch of politicians, that's for sure. False.
We'll talk to you later, Tom Metzger. Thank you, John, for
attending. Thank you, John. Bye.
Thomas. Tom Metzger of the White Aryan Resistance. And we don't just drag Metzger out of the dustbin of history for no reason, of course. We drag him out when there is something in the news that seems to relate to his particular brand of hatred, and that is the plot foiled by the FBI of some skinheads allegedly tied with Metzger's group War, and their alleged conspiracy to start shooting up some African Methodist Episcopal Church in South Central Los Angeles, and to kill, of all people, Rodney King, or, of all things, to start a race war, if you can believe that. So Metzger's standing by. We'll talk to him about that. I presume he will deny it. I would think that he would almost have to deny it. You're going to deny it, aren't you, Tom?
Yes, and we're celebrating our victory over the crummy ADL and the FBI and the ATF. We really screwed them this time.
Well, can you hang on a second?
Sure.
I know you're a busy guy. The Leitner deal, I'll get to that in a second. You know, I could spend an hour, I suppose.
Little Teddy got really, really anal, didn't he? Little anal Teddy is so obnoxious.
Good Lord. Ted. All right, Ted. Now, put a diaper on Ted. Put a little diaper on Teddy. Okay. That's you, little Teddy boy. Everything will be all right. Good grief! At the risk of sounding as anal and defensive as that moron, his whole, I don't know if you've caught his act in the last couple of days, including his Padre talk the other night, but about a week ago, in talking about something entirely different, namely a column about the Padre's contract with KFMB, I had mentioned totally in passing something to the effect that I wasn't going to, quote, pull a Leitner. Oh, yeah, blue hairs to Ted's defense, right. They're the ones that are calling and hanging.
Now shut him up.
I said, I'm not going to pull a Leitner and kiss up to the Padres. No, see, that was a little sarcasm, actually. It was based on an interview I'd heard the day before with Barry Bloom on Mark Larson's show at TED, I think from Philadelphia, or a couple of days before that, where Bloom calls Leitner a shill. And they went back and forth, you know. So I made this little sarcastic aside. Oh, my God, don't mess with Teddy. Oh, because he'll have a little hissy fit. And then we have an actual radio show to do. I wish I could mug and stammer my way through 3 minutes of airtime every day, but we actually got 4 hours with
Stacey Taylor. Entertainment and information. 760 KFMB.
760 KFMB, 1026 KFMB radio time. entertainment and information, and this is the entertainment portion of the show here. Are you the founder, Mr. Metzger, of the White Aryan Resistance War?
Yes, I am.
Tom Metzger of Fallbrook, California, I guess one of the county's more notorious white supremacists.
White separatist.
And one of the few bigots who is not afraid to express his bigotry in the open, unlike a lot of you bigots who like to keep your petty little hatreds to yourself. You were linked by some of these, I don't know if it was the FBI, Mr. Metzger, or who it was, in this idiotic escapade up in Los Angeles. Those people were linked with you, the White Aryan Resistance? You're not surely not that stupid, are you?
The FBI tried its best to create a situation there. In fact, I was exposing their undercover investigators, and I knew by the first of this year that there was a major sting in operation in Los Angeles. We knew that their prime mover and pusher would be a man by the name of Joe Allen. He began to obtain a high profile and rented a gym and so forth down in Newport, Costa Mesa, and started to attract these young people in. And we started warning people, even on our public update number, which is 723-8996, we change that every week, about this coming scam. And so,
the FBI infiltration.
Oh, yeah, we knew about it a long time ago. We didn't know exactly what they were trying to pull or what the target would be, but we put the word out to everybody to stay away from this agent because we had him pegged. We had investigated him in Miami, Jacksonville, Florida, all over the country. We knew a lot about him.
You're investigating FBI agents.
You better believe it. We do it much more than you would think. If they investigate us, then we investigate them and their informants. And I have exposed... I've exposed several over the past 2 years, all over the country.
Mr. Metzger, by virtue of what you just said, you clearly are linked to this organization. If you're putting messages, if you're in effect telling these skinheads up in Los Angeles to beware of specific FBI agents... setting up a sting operation.
I didn't say skinheads at all. I have a public phone that anyone can call in and listen. I said any white activist, white separatist, or anyone else in the Los Angeles area, this is what's coming, and I kept warning them on several occasions on this phone tape. All I can do is advise. Now, what happened there was after a so-called year and a half so-called sting that really got going about to the first of the year, and all this money that was spent, what they got was two teenagers and one very young adult. One of these people was a half Korean. His father's Korean, so I imagine this was an Asian plot to get even with the blacks for burning down their liquor stores. Maybe that's the case. But the other people who were arrested had nothing to do with that so-called alleged plot.
Hang on if you would. Tom Metzger, the founder of White Aryan Resistance, the organization that has been linked to this plot, allegedly, a plot that alleges to involve some attempt to start a race war in Los Angeles. I'm sure you're familiar with it. I don't have to beat a dead horse here. You know what we're talking about. I'm also curious, there's something called the Church of the Creator that's been linked with this plot up there, too. Metzger's the founder of this organization, White Aryan Resistance or War. He has been implicated. If you've got questions for him, give me a call at 570-1776. About this in general. I really don't want to necessarily make this a forum for Metzger's views on race or necessarily your views on race, but about these kinds of incidents and this kind of activity. That's what we're specifying here. 570-1776 is the telephone number. 760 KFMB Radio Entertainment and Information. KFMB Radio Time, 10:30. And now to KFMB's Pat Gaffey with KFMB.
570-1776 is the number to call Stacy Taylor. There's a line open for you. Now, back to Stacy Taylor on 760 KFMB.
760 KFMB Radio Entertainment and Information. KFMB Radio Time is 10:36. The White Aryan Resistance founder, Tom Metzger, whose name popped up in conjunction with this, I think, almost moronic plot up in Los Angeles. Look, I'm going to give you a chance, Mr. Metzger.
Sure.
Are you going to, aside from repudiating the FBI, are you going to repudiate this
Of course, it's a. Of course, it was a moronic plot, and that's why they only got two teenagers and one 20-year-old, I think it was, involved. A month ago, I traveled to Dallas, Texas, and spoke before 250 of the Black Panther Militia, a national convention headed up by Michael McGee of Milwaukee.
I know Michael McGee.
Yes, and I spoke.
Combat boots that promises his own race war and that something is done in Milwaukee.
I find him to be a very honest and straightforward person myself, and we had a great meeting there, and we are continuing negotiations. A week later, I flew to Florida and met with the officials of the Republic of New Africa, had very good talks, and of course, we've had an unofficial contact with the Nation of Islam for years. So
you're, what you're saying is that you align yourself with black groups that are also racial separatist groups.
Yes, I don't
align.
That's true. I decide what black people I want to associate with. The masters of this thing, they just get upset because I won't associate with the blacks they want me to associate with. Anyhow, number one, we are very much on record, even with your radio station, of not supporting the police in the Rodney King case. For us to be involved in anything attacking Rodney King doesn't even make any sense. And, of course, bombing a black church, as far as I'm concerned, is a strictly COINTELPRO FBI ATF type of an operation to try to clean up their very terrible image. And if you'll read the LA Times front page today, you'll see that we exposed the scam, and the facts are there.
So you're saying this plot was hatched by the FBI, not by these racists, these bigots up in Orange County?
These agent provocateurs are very clever. They come into an area, they flash money around, they impress a few of these young kids, they get them off in a corner, first and feed them beer and everything, and pretty soon they've got them into all this stuff. Ooh, we like to do this, we like to do that, and the next thing, they've got them into a conspiracy. These guys, these FBI, ATF people are literal sons of bitches, and they're criminals with badges.
Your son John is the head of some skinhead organization.
No, he's not.
He never was. All right, he's not. He's the head of some organization.
He works with me in war, but once was affiliated with the Aryan Youth.
Are you saying that kids like him and others of his affiliates would be suckered in? I mean, with a little beer and a little money, they would be suckered into. To a plot to spray machine gun fire into a church?
We're talking about hundreds and perhaps thousands of young people affiliated with white separatism across the nation. Los Angeles alone would have at least 1,000 and probably more young people affiliated with white separatism in one place or another. For the FBI to work for months, and they even claim a year and a half, and all they got was two teeny boppers and one young adult, that shows you that most people listen to me and stay away from those kind of people.
But not stay away from that kind of violence.
No, my people stay away from violence. However, if you come and punch us in the nose, we'll punch you right back.
Dennis on a car phone. You're on KFMD. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to bring it back a little bit. A number of years ago, I believe it would be 1980, but I can't be certain. You were at John Landis Park in Oceanside, and there were different groups there. Up a little bit late with your other gentleman there with you, and there was a little bit of violence involved there.
Absolutely.
I wanted to also see if you remember this. I was up in Northern California. I had taken pictures that day, and I sent you some. I don't know if you recall that or not.
They were good pictures.
And I was curious as to whether or not you had condoned that violence at all.
I condone trying to save my life. I went to that park. I was a candidate for Congress at the time. The police and the city officials of Oceanside refused to furnish security or anything. I went. We were prepared. An overwhelming crowd of people attacked us, and we handled it. Then the police attacked us. The police were criminals that day, and so were the rioters. They should have separated the two. We were leaving. And of course, I agree in that kind of violence. If I'm attacked, I'll use whatever force I have at my disposal to stop it.
Thanks for the call. Art from Del Cerro. You're on KFMB. Hi, Art.
Hi. I wanted to get your comments on certain situations. I know that he and his group is not at all very fond of Jews, especially Jews in government.
Well, we like Ted Leitner.
No,
it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
I have this question. Is there a connection between the following? Our new mayor in San Diego is a Jew. Ted Leitner is a Jew. And one of the first things she did when she took office was declare Ted Leitner Day. All these other pressing issues in our city, and yet they had this big hullabaloo over Ted Leitner Day. And I looked at this and I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Let me see if I get this straight. This is one of those conspiracies, manipulation of. Let me see if I got this straight here. The Jewish-controlled media and the other Jewish cartels that operate clandestinely in government. And
What I think he's trying to tell you, Stacy, is. I think what he's trying to tell you is there is a lot of concentration of Jewish economic power moving into the San Diego area because of the Pacific Rim situation, and they are gaining a lot of power, and so they're fighting with the old money now. There's a big fight between the new money and the old money, and it's very interesting to watch it.
Why would that be relevant?
Well, there's only one in about 50 or 60 people in California is a Jew. How did they wind up with two of them as senators? Both our new representatives, Filner and Shanker.
Well, they're very clever. They're very clever, and they're very well financed.
Well, what about Duncan Hunter and Duke Cunningham? Should somebody bring up that we got a couple of Okies representing us in Congress? Why is that relevant?
Personally, I think all the politicians today are creeps, whether they're Jews or whether they're not, and I really don't care much about the political arena at the time.
I can't believe it. Thank you. Doug from El Cajon, you're on KFMB. Hi, Doug.
Hey,
Doug.
Can I have a question for Pete Metzger, if that's his name?
That's my name.
My name, don't wear it out.
Well, here's what I think. I think the police should be punished. I did not side with the police, not because I have any great love for Rodney King, but because police, there's a lot of rogue cops out there beating whites and blacks and Hispanics, and there's plenty of evidence that they just go bananas sometimes. And so...
Wins this civil trial, you would support that.
Yes.
All right, hang on.
And I think maybe that will.
Tom Metzger of White Area Resistance. Otherwise, we get into open phones for the rest of the day. Guest free for your comments and opinions. 570-1776. Speak now or forever hold your peace. This is about the L.A. situation. The plot. Oh, yeah, I got to ask you. I want to ask you this real quick, too. What is this Church of the Creator?
Well, they're based in a place called Nice, Florida, and they're a church that's basic tenets is race, that their religion is race, and they are non-Christian. In fact, they're anti-Christian, and the creator of that group was a man by the name of Ben Klassen, who was a Florida legislator for some time.
And you're not affiliated with them?
Well, I know them. I'm not affiliated with them, but I know them, and I know some of their people around the country.
Why don't you, I'll tell you what, if there is no connection here between you and this group of conspirators, alleged conspirators, see, I'll get sued if I don't say all that stuff. I'm in Los Angeles. Why don't you sue the L.A. Times or sue the Associated Press? Implicating you?
Oh, the FBI probably blamed me for the floods in the Midwest. They tried to say I bombed the federal building a few years ago.
Let me rephrase the question. Is it because you enjoy the publicity, even if it's not true?
Well, if these people are going to come at me and hand me a pat hand, you think I'm not going to take it? I think I wouldn't sue the LA Times, that's for sure, because the article on today's front page shows right where I'm coming from, and it's a great article.
Hang on. All right. Any more questions for Metzger, call now, 570-1776. Otherwise... we return to the real world with open phones here. 760 KFMB Radio, entertainment and information. KFMB Radio time, 10:45. Stacy Taylor, midday.
760 KFMB.
Well, it's time to take your Padres pocket calendar.
760 KFMB. 570-1776. Our friend Kevin is, Steve Rooney is handling the board chores today, board opping. Excuse me, Steve. Excuse me very much. Our fellow champion, Mr. Shizmaster Day, will be back with us tomorrow. He is currently gloating over our OTL triumph. And our hardworking producers, Katrina Weber, our lines are open. A couple more calls for the White Aryan Resistance founder, Tom Metzger, related to, again, specifically, this L.A. situation, please. Kevin on a car phone. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, how you doing, Stacey?
Good, Kevin.
Hey, I got a real quick question for Tom. I'll ask you, then I'll hang up. I was just wondering what his feelings were about the way the Mexicans handled the Chinese immigrants.
Well, I think that it's good that they handled it, and they did it real quick and shipped them back, and that was it. And I think that if we operated like that in this country, we would be doing a lot better.
Well, we do ship them back.
Yeah.
They just crossed the border again.
Yeah, I know. Well, if I was in charge, they wouldn't get across the border.
Yvonne from Southeast, you're on KFMB. Hi, Yvonne.
Good morning. I wanted to ask Mr. Metzger about, I don't think it's alleged because it was a civil suit. Relates to the violence of the trial in Oregon?
Yes, Portland, Oregon. Oh, God, we've got funds like you wouldn't believe. It's everywhere. We're backed by a bunch of big corporations, and it's really great, the money. It gets pretty funny. Actually, that case is on appeal, and it's up now before the Oregon Supreme Court, and if we have a problem there, we'll go to the 9th District Federal Court. Ultimately, we will win the case. Well, I don't condone unneeded or silly violence.
Find needed violence, then.
Well, you know what that means, Stacy. You've been around a while.
Self-defense?
Yeah, that's right. Somebody comes up to attack your house or you on the street or something, you're going to defend yourself. And that's all I've ever preached.
So if this Ethiopian in Portland, Oregon had defended himself and killed these skinheads, you would support him?
Well, what happened there was a street fight. The Ethiopian lost. It was 3-3. It shouldn't have happened. These guys were out. Both sides had been drinking. It was just a stupid street fight. And it's silly to...
Is it a coincidence that the three guys who were affiliated with the skinhead movement happened to beat to death a black man?
Well, they were affiliated with a lot of other things. They were into music bands. They probably read magazines. They probably listened to the radio. They probably watched Clint Eastwood, too. Does that mean that...
Well, that's not relevant. That's
of course it's not relevant.
It's not relevant to race.
No, but it's young... Young people, jocks or whoever, have fist fights from time to time, and if it's not with somebody of another race, they fight with each other. So, if it had been if a white kid had been killed, it would have been a ho-hum, story on a back page. But as far as I'm concerned, I have no liability at all in that situation. I'd never even been to Portland. It was just a street fight. But I'll win it in the end. It'll take a while, but I'll win. And I'll get my things back. Sad. Why? It's sad because you...
Unbelievable. You actually almost sounded normal there for about 10 minutes, Mr. Metzger.
Well, what do you mean?
All of a sudden, this thing in Portland becomes a street fight?
It was a street fight.
Skinheads and a black guy who ends up dead?
Well, if you want to talk to the investigator, would you...
Affiliation is just coincidental.
Would you like to talk to... Would you like to talk to the investigators who covered the case? They'll tell you the same thing. They're not... No, you just don't like my views. You don't like my philosophy, so you believe everything they say. So the point is, I can say the same thing about someone else. If I don't like somebody, then I believe everything bad people say about them. I'm a white separatist. I'm proud of it. I work for the white race, the ones who want me to work for them, and I'm surely not ashamed of that. But that does not mean that I have a program of killing, intimidating, and beating people of other races. Well, prove it then. And to the FBI, and I'll tell the FBI and ATF, they can come down, make their charges. Sure.
Is it a coincidence that there have been 28 murders around the country by skinheads who average an age 20 and a half years?
It is when there's thousands of skinheads and only people who are involved in 28 murders. My God, man, if you look at the newspapers, how many murders there are in this country, that's nothing.
How many do you think was 28 murders in affiliated with, let's say, Boy Scouts in America?
Probably. Remember, John Gacy was a Boy Scout leader, and baloney. Don't give me that crap. You know what the crime rate in this country. If you want to look at black-on-white crime, look at black-on-white crime for a change, will you? I'll defend the skinheads all the way down the line. Well, I know. You. Oh, my God. The world's coming to an end. Affiliated with my group? Oh, boy, you give me a lot more credit than I'm due. You think... Oh, a little 19-year-old Vietnamese boy probably just got in a fight and lost the fight. Yeah. If he'd have stayed in Vietnam, he'd have been okay. If he'd have stayed in Vietnam, he'd have been okay. He fought for the corporations is who he fought for.
Associates in Houston pulled up along, chased this guy down the street in a car. He was on foot, got out, kicked him to death. There were three of them.
You were there? Were you there? Were you there? Do you know? Then how do you know the facts?
Well, they were convicted in court, sir.
Well, I know a lot of people convicted. Mandela spent, about 27 years in prison, too. Now they say he's a hero. Pardon me? He was convicted of treason, stupid. He was convicted of treason by the South African courts. The hell he wasn't. He was tried in absentia. He was tried in absentia and convicted of treason. Well, he's a hero to you people now. Just because somebody goes to prison and kill people, I guess, doesn't make them all bad because he's a hero.
Well, how about you, sir? You went to prison and you
have... I never went to prison. I went to jail for unlawful assembly, which is being appealed, and I'll win that appeal too. How much money? Hey, how much money you got, Raul? You want to put it up? Well, okay.
Secondly, I've earned it the hard way by working, unlike you.
Oh yeah. Good luck, Raul. Good luck, Raul. Good luck, Raul. Good luck, Raul.
Good luck. Why can't I have good luck, sir? You're the one that's going to go to jail.
Well, you see the problem you have.
I find this unbelievable too. Are you really maintaining that all of these things are coincidental?
No.
No, I'm talking to Mr. Metzger here.
Get in a
typical street fight, and it just so happens the Vietnamese ends up dead, that's all purely coincidental, has nothing to do with the philosophy or the affiliation of the people that murdered him.
I don't think it makes any difference.
Some guy that they think is gay is killed on the streets of Hillcrest by people who are affiliated with skinheads, that's all coincidental. First of all,
you take the silly position that I support that kind of thing.
I started off with the premise that you didn't.
I don't. But when I see the tremendous number of white skinheads and other whites attacked and raped and brutalized throughout this country by many times minority people, and it's a ho-hum story, and these people come back at us and say, hey, oh, these skinheads are so terrible, they murdered 28 people. Yeah, I can say probably several of those were bad things. It shouldn't have happened.
Tom Metzger, the founder of White Aryan Resistance, and we now, as I said, get back to the real world. Guest-free phones commence on KFMB.
Taylor, entertainment and information, 760 KFMB. 760 KFMB, hi everybody, welcome to the show. If you're just joining us, hi. It's open phones, and Pat, we're going to go to the president, live, huh? 11:15. Any surprises here? Good grief. Any surprises? Or is this going to be, this is the don't ask, don't tell, don't think about it, don't touch, don't feel, don't shower routine?
Don't do it either.
Oh, the don't do it. They're adding don't do it.
Well, yeah, don't do it if you're going to tell somebody.
Oh. So this is the policy that advocates kind of discretion.
Yes. Secrecy.
Secrecy. Yeah, all right. Well, I just can't wait for this. And I can't wait for the assault that's going to ensue after this announcement as well, if you catch my meaning. All right, that's coming up here on KFMB for the rest of the day, in fact. So it's your calls. And Mark from San Marcos. Hi there, Mark.
Hi, Stacy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, fine, fine. I think that the federal government was real quick to retry those four white officers up there in L.A. Reason for doing it. State judges were polled recently, and most of them thought it was double jeopardy. I also think that this FBI thing was concocted to placate the blacks. I think we're having a hot summer in the cities with these budget cutbacks and everything, and we're doing our best on the federal level to make it look like we're going to do all we can for the blacks. And I don't consider myself a skinhead. I'm far from it. But I am a native San Diegan and been around here for 40 years and read the papers every day and been doing that for decades. I see what's going on. I consider myself a realist. And I really don't like the way that a lot of white people jump on the bandwagon of fairness. And when I hear other radio stations interview black people, it seems like they are pro-black irregardless of the situation. In case in point would be the Denny beating up in L.A. It doesn't make any difference, it seems, who they interview, clergy or gang members. They all compare it as the same thing as the Rodney King beating. And I'm a little tired of this.
I mean, I'm not exactly sure where you're coming from.
But I got a lot to say and a little time to say.
Well, I understand that. So you're saying pursue the Reginald Denny beating perpetrators to the same extent that they pursued the police officers.
I'm saying that when I've listened to another radio station up in L.A., the people that I've heard on there, the black callers that call in, it seems no matter what career they are, or how intelligent they are, or whatever, they are, in fact, I don't know if I want to use the term racist, but they're definitely pro-black. They, to a man, they defend the black. Those four up there that beat Denny, and they.
Well, I hate to break the news to you, Mark, but you know, callers to radio stations, including this one, do not reflect necessarily public opinion. So, I mean, what you're doing is you're commenting on the people that call up a Los Angeles radio station, and you jump to the conclusion that somehow they represent some majority point of view.
I'm saying that each and every one that I've heard, and I listen to the radio station up there quite a bit because I drive a truck, and I listen to you in the truck, I happen to be home for lunch right now, I hear that quite a bit. It's incredible.
Yeah, but didn't you also
that you
look?
Can equate the two. I mean, any thinking, rational human being knows that Rodney King was pulled over for a crime that he committed and that Denny was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Well, I'm kind of an absolutist on this. I'm glad that they were convicted, the police officers, and I hope that the perpetrators in this Reginald Denny thing are convicted as well.
I agree with you.
It's criminal activity one way or the other.
I agree with you.
And here,
but I don't say that the guys that did the beating of the truck driver, and you'll hear this from the black community that.
But you're not hearing it here.
Situation.
You're not hearing it here. I understand what you're saying, and if you were hearing it here, if people were calling this show.
You mean San Diego?
Yeah.
Okay.
If blacks in San Diego were calling this show and bellyaching about the fact that these guys are even standing trial, which I presume is what you're talking about, up in Los Angeles, then I would guess you'd have something to talk about. But they're not.
I also applaud Mr. Metzger, not for his radical viewpoints, but at least for being a sounding board for some frustrated whites that do. That are frustrated. I mean, I have a lot of friends that I talk to. You don't hear them calling in radio stations because they're trying to work and make a living and feed their families.
Well, he's open about his bigotry.
Yeah.
He's open about it.
There is a lot of that going on. I mean, it is
true. Are you a bigot? You're not a bigot, are you, Mark, or are you?
I think we all are to a degree. If you see what's going on, you just hate to see it.
No.
The immigration thing is real big now. Like I said, I'm a native
Well, I mean, a bigot. Look, on the immigration thing, I mean, let me give you a litmus test here. If these were Irish that were sneaking across the border, would that bother you or not?
If they were taking jobs And
they are Polish. I mean, they are. You know,
they're taking jobs. They're taking families, friends and families' jobs. They're coming in illegal. I don't care what color they're.
All right. Okay.
Is.
Well, let's see. That would be. If you were coming from the position that you don't want these Mexicans because they're Indians and they're not our race, and you don't want Chinese because they're Asians and they're not our race, but you wouldn't mind if the Polish or the Irish screamed across our border taking jobs, then you would be a bigot.
Okay. If you say so, but
well, I mean, I
don't care what race they are. They're coming in here. They're coming in illegal, and they're taking jobs.
All right. Well, then that's different. George from Miramar, you're on KFMB. Hi there, George.
Yeah. Hi there, Stacey. I just had one quick comment about our buddy Mr. Metzger. People like that, the best thing you can do is put them on the radio, because it only takes them about 5-10. In your case, you said what he said, 10 minutes for him to show how really stupid he was. I mean, some of the statements he made were just totally ludicrous. I mean, I have corporations backing me and this and that. You know, they just let them on for about 10, 15 minutes and they just proved themselves idiots.
Well, that's the idea. See, there will be a protest over this. There will be, and there always is. I agree with what you said. That I would rather know where somebody like Tom Metzger is coming from, and the reason that Tom Metzger is on the show is because he makes no bones about it. I'd rather know where these people are coming from. I'd rather know what they believe and what they don't believe than have them sort of operate clandestinely in the little shadowy, smelly corners of America. But nonetheless, there will be elements of the community that will protest, and they're probably on the phone right now talking to the general manager of this radio station or calling the switchboard, protesting the fact that he's even on the air in the first place. I think it's valuable, actually.
Yeah, I always find it entertaining when you have him on because, like I said, he just makes such outrageous comments. You just have to chuckle. Well, thanks a lot, Stacey. Appreciate it.
Thank you, George. Are we breaking? Are we having the president on now? Shortly we are. All right.